Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is Eric Payne in for Kay Thompson on the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm in here by myself today because we had a lot of bad weather on the Jersey, in the Jersey area, rain and stuff like that. So I'm in here by myself. It's like driving your mother's car without her around. So I'm going to be driving the car, which is going to be EP Live. And we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. I want to talk about, you know, a couple of things in the news. The newest thing is that those girls were able to escape, thank God, in Ohio by those crazy guys that were holding them. And it's a real good thing, and our prayers go out to those folks and their family. Welcome back to them. I want to mention that today's show is sponsored by the Move Sounds, inspired by Mumia Abu-Jamal, which can be purchased at bwmovingimages.com. And we also want you to donate to GoPro Radio Network. We need you to donate to help keep our show alive, Kay Thompson Live. So when you donate, make sure you make that known that you're supporting the Kay Thompson Live show on GoPro Radio Network at GoProRadio.com and click on the donate button and make sure you leave a note, like I said, to say that you're supporting Kay Thompson Live show. And you know, it's really a crazy thing. Sometimes people never know about this story in Ohio. You know, people never know who they're living next door to, you know, where some of these sick individuals are in our society that snatch people up and have them, you know, those girls were there for what? One was there for 10 years, another one was there for 9 years, and people in the neighborhood said they called the police. And we all know sometimes how some of those calls are, whether they're taken seriously or not, particularly if they come from a certain neighborhood. That people have a hard time getting police protection in certain areas. So it's even though the police claim that they only received a couple of calls, it's hard to believe that 10 years go by and nobody reports this. So, but also in our society, too, we don't notice a lot of things, you know. Sometimes we're so much into our digital devices and things that we're not as observant as we should be. But the bottom line is that those girls are safe now and back with their families. You know, that's got to be a gut-wrenching thing to go through, to have someone that you love be missing for that long period of time. And God forbid that anyone should have to experience that. And who knows how many more people, maybe down the street from you or I or whoever, might be held somewhere. So keep your eyes open. It's a different type of world nowadays. We've got to keep our eyes open. You know, we got a lot of people that want to hurt large numbers of people. I'm talking about, you know, I think about the bombers when I think about that. So a lot of people were vigilant in finding those individuals. So you got to keep your eyes open. Stay alert in this world. There's a lot of things going on. I'm thinking about now with all of the social networking things, and you got the Facebook and the Twitter. A lot of people seem like they're having fun, and they want to, you know, it seems like they use things like Facebook. If you look on it a lot of people are taking pictures of themselves, having good times and things like that. And that's all well and good, but sometimes you can use those things for good, which a lot of people are doing. So we kind of live in a celebrity glorification culture nowadays, unfortunately, where a lot of people worship being famous. I mean, I'm my business professionally, I was trained as an actor, but you have a lot of people, a lot of reality shows, and unfortunately, the people that seem to get the most attention are the people that act the worst. And, you know, we need to check our values sometimes. You know, that's just my personal opinion. Maybe a lot of you out there have thought about that, food for thought, because, you know, we need to stop being so self-centered sometimes, I think. You know, a lot of stuff has happened in the news in the past week. What else is going on? You know, you have Jodi Arias found guilty of first-degree murder, could possibly face the death penalty. Now, I don't know. I haven't really been following that case. I just know that she was being charged for the murder of this guy. And I heard that, I'm not sure, now a lot of you probably know better than I would, that she might have stabbed this guy 70 times and claimed there was self-defense. That's a lot of self-defense, but you know, you've got to be really mad. But anyway, the jury found that they didn't quite agree, so they found her guilty. Also, the past week, you know, the NRA, they had their convention over there. 70,000 people showed up. And it seems that a lot of them, I don't know, but I get the feeling that they might be a little racist. I saw a news story that at the convention they have all these vendors there, and one of the things that they were selling were kind of a little models, you know, targets. They were selling targets for people to do target practice, and this particular target was made to look like lifelike. You know, they have the bust now of individual, and it was made to, it clearly had the ears, and it was made to look like President Obama. And they called it zombie shooting, but you could clearly see that it was made to look like Barack Obama. So these individuals at the NRA convention, vendors at the conference, are selling targets that look like the President of the United States for these people to shoot at. And so I'm wondering, if you're the NRA and you want to talk about your rights as to own guns and things like that, that's all well and good, but you're selling targets that look like the President of the United States for people to shoot at? No, that sounds a little. That seems a little racist to me. And then I saw a headline on the web earlier today. I'm trying to bring it up, where the guy, the new head of the NRA, was talking about it won't be long before black people are slaves or something again, or we own black people. Said something crazy like that, and it's just you're kind of wondering. You know, these guys really have lost their mind because there's a black president. It's unbelievable to me. Some of the things they were saying, we have to save ourselves from the tyranny of the government because the government is going to do this and that. And it really crystallizes, it seems to that this sentiment is really crystallized during Barack Obama's administration, not during W's administration, because it seemed like maybe things were a little bit more oppressive under his administration. But I call it for what it is. And it seems to be something that's jumping up out of a racist perspective. And if you're selling targets that look like the President of the United States for you to shoot at, complete with the ears give it away. But then it went ahead and made the face look a little bit similar to him. So, and then the big guy comes out and talks about black people in a derogatory manner, and it won't be long before we're owning black people or some craziness. Yeah, I'm going to call you racist. I'm not saying every NRA member is, but if you're condoning that type of stuff right there, then you might fall in that category. It's really crazy to me. You know, also this thing about plastic guns. Plastic guns. All right. Let's keep finding ways. I got an idea. Here's a brilliant idea. Let's keep finding ways and try to invent things to kill people or to hurt people. I don't understand. I don't understand the mentality. Maybe somebody does. I mean, I don't understand the mentality. They keep wanting to make devices of destruction, and what goes on in an individual's mind to say, I'm going to make a device of destruction, of death, of maiming. I don't know. What's the problem? And I saw, I was watching the news again, and these guys are talking about they want to promote anarchy and some sort of thing about they want everybody to be able to be responsible for themselves. It's what? And all of this sentiment, all of this feeling seems to be crystallizing itself during these last couple of years, ironically during the fact that there was an African-American president. People talk about when Barack got elected, it was a post-racial society. No. They're very upset. There are some people that are very upset. I had a job where I would call people on the phone. I'm going to admit it. I was a telemarketer. Something that actors do sometimes in California, calling people for different organizations, museums, TV networks, public stations, stuff like that, causes, environmental. And a lot of times I would talk to people who would tell me I'm white and they hate the president because he's black. Talking about other white people. So, you know, hopefully people that have hate in their heart are at the in the minority in this country of 300-something million people, and all the people that want to kind of get along and respect other human beings regardless of how they look or what they look like on the outside, hopefully we can overcome and kind of understand. You know, I understand you want to have your rifles and things like that, and that's well and good, but, you know, please remember that the bottom line for those things is not, you know, people have made it into a sport, target shooting or whatever. But the bottom line of those machines is to hurt or to maim or to kill. A lot of times to protect yourself, Hopefully that's all you use it for, or to protect your nation. But, you know, the bad guys are out there, too. Some people who claim they're not bad guys and want to still not have any background checks of guns. And, you know, the argument is that they want to create a register. They don't want to do that because there's going to be a register of people who have their guns. And, you know, the whole thing about, you know, when the government takes over the society and tries to control all the citizens. So I don't think that that's going to happen, but you never know. But I don't know why that notion seems to crystallize itself during this man's administration, because it seems to me that the previous administration, with the kind of secrecy and the way that they were doing things, and a vice president like Dick Cheney, I would be more worried about it happening during that time. And so what else in the news? We got New Jersey's governor, Chris Christie, went through lap band surgery, from what I understand. So that's a good thing. Anything that people do to get healthy, they're claiming he's doing it because he wants to run for president. Maybe so, but I'm pretty sure that he's more interested in making sure that he's going to be around for his kids. And I don't agree with much about him. I respect the fact that he gave Barack Obama credit for helping out with Hurricane Sandy. So, you know, we need more people like that. I can't really agree with Chris Christie, but we need more people speak the truth. I'll put it out there, speak the truth, and aren't really so partisan. You know, I follow politics a lot. You're going to hear me talking about politics a lot because I'm related to people that are in public service. And also, you must get involved. You must get involved. You must get involved in the political process, because if you don't, and then they're not really paying any attention to you. I mean, if you look at the example of the Tea Party people, even though I think a lot of them were kind of falling into that category I was talking about earlier, at least they got involved. At least they made their wishes and their causes known, and they got very active. A lot of people tried to get out in front of it and control it, but at least they made, you know, they got involved and they made a lot of noise. That's what you got to do. You got to let these people know. And also, like I said last week, we talked about last week about some people, members of Congress, and Congress has a bad rating. Most of the public doesn't have a lot of confidence in Congress. What you need to do is follow which individuals. We got a call coming in. What we need to do is follow which individuals are the ones that vote against your interests. You know, if you have those individuals that vote against gun control or background checks, and you're for that, follow those representatives that vote against it. Like this, I think it's a senator out from New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, who was catching quite a bit of flack because a lot of her constituents wanted background checks, and she decided not to vote for it. And the girl who lost her mother in the Sandy Hook tragedy in Connecticut confronted her about it. So, you know, hold these people accountable. That's what you got to do. We got a caller coming in. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello.
Maybe that's my mom's.
What's yeah. The... Just wanted to tell you that the new president of the gun control, you know, is a pretty dangerous person.
Of the NRA.
Of the NRA. He is advocating that, you know, black people should not be allowed to vote or even be in the president's seat, and they're going to be taking over black people again, and we're going to be going back into slavery or some such nonsense. Wonder
right.
if you can address that.
Right. So, I mean, let's talk about that. He says it's only a matter of time, because we saw that earlier today, and he says it's only a matter of time. What was that headline we were talking about? It's only a matter of time. Now I got it up, and this is off of, I don't know what website this is, but he's saying it's NRA President Jim Porter. It's only a matter of time before we can own colored people again.
Isn't that amazing?
I wish I was in the land of cotton. That's what he said. Got 2 minutes to break. Thank you, Shauna. But this guy is special. Wow, that he actually said that out loud. He actually said that out loud. So that kind of tells you where they're coming from. And those of you that are NRA members that don't agree with that, you need to vote this guy out, that believe in responsible gun ownership. You need to vote this guy out because he's promoting. Wow, he really said that. I'll repeat. NRA President Jim Porter said it's only a matter of time before we can own colored people again. That's special. He's a special guy, I got to tell you. Called President Barack Obama a fake president. He's calling Barack Obama a fake president. I wonder what he would have said about W. Because, you know, remember W really didn't win the presidency. And this is another thing, Ma, you and maybe you heard about this on the news, with Sandra Day O'Connor, ex-Supreme Court Justice, just came out the other day talking about maybe we made a mistake in ruling in the stopping the count in Florida when they gave George Bush the election. She comes out after all these years to talk about maybe she made a mistake. Maybe we made a mistake. We shouldn't have taken that case. Ain't that something? Man, never mind. We need to go for a break. We'll be right back. Stick around with us. Call in. Let me know what's on your mind on the K Thompson Live Show.
Hey, GoProto. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, a.k.a. Tri-State area, you're in the perfect spot to join a fast-growing community of energetic, political, creative, and eco-conscious activists focused on real climate change and environmental awareness. Now it's time to bring the fight to the airwaves. So we're calling all musicians, students, professionals, and earth lovers to get down with Eco-Socialist Horizons on the GoPro Radio Network and help tackle the greatest challenge humanity has ever faced. If you're interested in getting involved, and there are many ways that you can, both on and off the air, email us at ecohorizon@goproradio.com. That's Eco-Socialist Horizons with Joel Cavell and Quincy Saul, only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
So we're back. I'm sorry, I was looking down. I'm just tripping on the Jim Porter dude. I had to go to the Huffington Post because that website that was reporting that was a website that was the news that's almost reliable. So, you know, but I'm looking at, and I saw Mr. Porter say things. Now I'm on the Huffington Post, and he's attacked. Mr. Porter has attacked President Obama, called him, as I said, a fake president, described Attorney General Eric Holder as rabidly un-American, and accused the administration of making a run on our rights in order to take us to a European socialistic bureaucratic type of government. Wow. I wonder if they realize that, you know, Medicare and Social Security is kind of a semi-socialist program, you know, where we take care of people. It's kind of based in, you know, that a little bit. It's got some of those ideas, at least, about it. But it's kind of crazy that, you know, people are still think that way in 2013, that they're still as racist as they are in 2013, why we can't get along. But, you know, I always said that certain people would rather see this country, point blank, what I said was people would rather blow the world up, blow America up, than see be run by all of its citizens, a black president, Mexican president. Ooh, heaven forbid there's a Mexican president of the United States, or a woman president, Hillary. Man, and just to how they're trying to get on her about the Bengali situation, trying to attack her. So it's kind of sad. It's sad to live in a country where people, you know, there's a history of one group of people owning another group of people, and then descendants of those people that were slave masters still want to bring back those old days, you know. It's unbelievable. In 2013, for instance, in certain areas of the South, that they have segregated proms, and the kids had to come together because they wanted an integrated prom. Really? Really? Do some of these people really believe that it's really about sitting next to them and wanting to be and socialize with them? They really think that that's what's up. They think that that's special. We got another caller calling in. Go ahead, caller. Who are you? Call it.
Yeah, I would like. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I would like to wonder. I was wondering, what do you think about the media getting involved in Chris Christie's personal business when he was trying to talk about jobs when he was in North New Jersey? Do you think that's right, or you know, I'm sick and tired of media, you know, making something you know where it's not supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And one other question, I was wondering, on TV they say you gain 15 pounds on the air. What about on the radio?
I don't know. Maybe on the radio, you lose weight, because then you could talk about how skinny you are. But now they got ways you could see us talking on the radio, so people can't really lie about their weight on the radio. They can't lie about how they look. The media getting involved in Chris Christie's personal business. A story that comes to mind, on top of you know, him doing the things in Newark, but also his weight loss, but also too, you know, you remember a couple of years ago when they had the woman who asked a question about where his kids went to school. And because his kids, I guess, go to a private school, they didn't go to public schools. And she asked a question. He told the lady it was none of her business.
Nope.
I'm under the inclination that it's the right of the voter or the constituent to ask you the question. You know, it's a valid question. It's not like it's none of her business, because you are there. She doesn't work for you, elected official. You work for her. So although I understand him wanting his kids to get the best quality education, I completely understand that. But it's not like the question is not valid. I think the media, as long as they raise valid questions and questions that have to do with his service as a public servant, I think if they do that, they serve a good purpose. When they get a little personal and attacking too much, then they kind of cross the line. Or sometimes the media also tries to make stories. You know, I'm thinking about the CNN reporter who, when the Boston bombing first took place at the Marathon, said he heard someone told him that there were two dark-skinned guys before any of that had been validated, and it turned out to be wrong. Those guys turned out to be pretty far from dark. So, you know, but it's a 24-hour news cycle, so I guess if nothing's happening, they got to kind of make news up, and there are, sometimes they jump the gun before they have all the facts. So, you know, it's kind of crazy that they do that. Another thing I want to talk about is how they've, you know, I'm a fan of the president. I don't agree with everything that he does, but they've been going after him every step of the way, and it's because they wanted to make him a one-term president. This gentleman, Pat Toomey, Senator Toomey, on the gun control bill admitted it, that some members of his party voted against it because they didn't want to give the president a victory, because they didn't want to do anything that would make him look good. So they voted against him as opposed to doing what was right for the country. So, I mean, when you have that kind of mentality, that kind of scorched earth mentality, it's kind of hard to get things done. You know, it's kind of unbelievable that people would take that perspective about things. But, you know, some people are just that vindictive and that evil, that they don't want to serve. You know what it is? You know who gets hurt the most are the people that can least afford to get hurt. You know, the people that rely on the government for certain services, or the people that are just making ends meet when they work. We were just talking out in the lobby here at Black Wax and BW Moving Images about how the average person, it's hard out there for somebody to make a living now. You know? And you have these guys, they don't want to have they don't want to raise taxes on the upper 1%, but they want to do everything they can to raise taxes on the 99%. And it's not really that fair of a world. You know, the race thing is constantly with us. I just was thinking the other day about, you know, people talk about the race card, or you're going to play the race card. And I suppose, you know, people use certain things as a trump card, so to speak. Or to play the female card, or play this card. People say playing the race card as if being black in America is some kind of game, you know, and equating it to a game like this is real life. If it was a game, Rodney King would have been able to hop up and say, okay, it's my turn now. Let me have the baton to hit y'all. So, you know, certain terms that people try to use to belittle or make things less important than they are, we need to watch out for that. Another hot thing that recently got resolved was the situation with Lil Wayne and some of the comments he made in one of the some of the lyrics in his song, where he talked about Emmett Till. He talked about and it's a little graphic, so cover the kids' ears who's ever listening, and somebody is going to be upset about this. But he talked about, you know, if he had sexual relations with a woman, how her body parts would resemble Emmett Till's face after the situation happened to Emmett Till. And a lot of people got really upset about that because they felt that he didn't understand the historical reference. First off, you're being real graphic and kind of and kind of over the top with that reference in terms of, you know, the sexuality. Secondly, you don't really understand the history of what happened to Emmett Till if you make a statement like that. So I think what the problem is, that a lot of young people, a lot of cats in positions like that, and Lil Wayne, I think he apologized after he found out, but a lot of cats like that, they don't understand the history that the history of things that happened to our people in this country. And if you know the story of Emmett Till, certainly you wouldn't probably want to phrase things like that. And once they pulled this code, it was a little bit different. Also, you had that Mountain Dew ad that was recently pulled with this guy, Tyler, the Creator, young guy. And just being creative, a hip-hop guy, didn't understand how the images of a bunch of black men in a lineup with a goat and a white woman on the other side trying to pick out who committed this crime against her, that image is negative. It perpetuates a negative image of black people. And in this young guy's attempt to be funny and be cutting edge, we understand that. But you got to understand everything in context, the racial implications of that. So, and once he did, it was made known to him. He understood, from what I understand. But that's after the fact. You know, we need to have people understand, certainly our young people understand, that there's certain things that aren't for sale in you wanting to be famous and you wanting to have a lot of certain things. They're not up for grabs. You know, we should honor a certain tradition about our people, you know, and more of us need to know history, because if you knew history, if you really knew the atrocities that were committed against our people, like Jewish folks say never again. And if you see a Holocaust movie once a year, they don't care, because they're never going to let the world forget. And maybe we should be like that. We should spend more of our dollars in places that are going to respect us and our more constructive things. You know, I'm going to make a little slight shift, but this is something that's equal. I've been watching some movies lately, you know, on demand. Watched Django Unchained. And I heard there was a lot of a ruckus about the N-word being used. A lot of people got upset about that. But you know, it was a slave movie. I liked the movie. I thought it was good. And it was a slave movie. So what do you think they were doing during slave times? And for that type of film, I thought it was appropriate. And other things, I don't think it's necessarily appropriate. But for that type of film, I thought it was appropriate. I thought it was factual, to be honest. And I thought it was a good movie. But I heard a lot of people were upset about that. So I'd be interested to hear what some people out there that might be listening know what you think about the Django Unchained. Another one I watched was Flight with Mr. Denzel Washington. It's a very excellent movie. But these are positive portrayals, you know. I did a movie with Denzel called Malcolm X, and I can attest to you, and Spike talked about in his books how he channeled Malcolm X, which he did. He became Malcolm X in that movie. But you know, another thing I noticed about Denzel Washington is that he must have worked on his walk, you know, that whole kind of strut, that stroll he's got, because that brother's got the coolest walk I've ever seen. Just walking next to him, he must have worked long and hard on that, because, you know, if you've ever been on camera, seen yourself on camera, had a home movie or video, you know, there's certain things that you don't like, certain people, you know, and if you look at yourself long enough, if you're in the profession, you're going to see things you don't like. Obviously, some people get plastic surgery. They know who they are. And some people do certain things. Some people work on how they walk. I know that because as someone who used to wear orthopedic shoes as a kid, I never particularly liked the way I walked. So it was just something that struck me. But we're getting ready to go for a break in 2 minutes, I'm told. I want to know what you folks out there think. And also today, I want to remember and remind you that today's show is sponsored by On the Move Sounds, inspired by Mumia Abu-Jamal, which can be purchased at bwmovingimages.com. We also need your help. Support this network, GoProRadio.com. You can donate to GoPro Radio Network. You go to the GoProRadio.com website and click on Donate, and you can support this show in particular, which is what I'm asking you to do, and make sure you leave a little note to say that you're supporting Kay Thompson Live, because we really need your help in trying to continue to bring you some radio and to talk about some things that aren't necessarily talked about. You know, black Republicans interest me because, it's ready. I'm ready for a break right now. That's what I got to go to, the break. All right. We're going to go to a break right now. We're going to talk about black Republicans when we come back. All right. Come on back. Stay with us.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Hey, GoProto. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, a.k.a. Tri-State area, you're in the perfect spot to join a fast-growing community of energetic, political, creative, and eco-conscious activists focused on real climate change and environmental awareness. Now it's time to bring the fight to the airwaves. So we're calling all musicians, students, professionals, and earth lovers to get down with Eco-Socialist Horizons on the GoPro Radio Network and help tackle the greatest challenge humanity has ever faced. If you're interested in getting involved, and there are many ways that you can, both on and off the air, email us at ecohorizon@goproradio.com. That's Eco-Socialist Horizons with Joel Cavell and Quincy Saul, only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com.
Hello? Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm saying hello like I'm on the phone with you. I'm just checking my notes. So I was talking about black Republicans, and, you know, I think that black Republicans are interesting because I think that black people need to be in all aspects of the political spectrum. But I wonder if there was any pride in some of them, and I know some did have pride when we had the first African-American president. Someone in particular that I find to be an interesting character is Michael Steele, because he was ex chairman of the Republican National Committee. And it seems like sometimes to me he carries the water for the Republicans. You know, the way you could tell somebody is anti a group if they constantly do things that negatively affect a certain group. You know, that's how you can tell someone's anti a certain group. So Republicans might claim that they're not racist, they're not anti-black people, but sometimes they do things that consistently hurt black people. So I don't understand how then you have black individuals who are going to be part of that group that consistently hurts their own people. You know, it's in your actions, it's not in your words. You know, and I'm sure that perhaps the more black people that get in the Republican Party, they can help to shape it and show that it becomes as diverse as the Democratic Party is. But then I can imagine that there are probably some individuals who would leave the Republican Party because of that fact alone. But Michael Steele, you know, he spends a lot of time. I mean, he's Republican, so he's going to be pro-Republican ideas and issues and anti-Democratic ideas and issues, i.e. anti where the majority of black people want to see the country move, I believe. I don't know how many black Republicans are elected to office now that are members of the Congressional Black Committee. I think there's one from South Carolina. I think his name is Tim Scott. And then you had the Tea Party guy who's gone now, who was out of Florida, Alan West. Thank God he's gone, because he was just talking all kinds of stuff. But, you know, to me, it's crazy to be a part of a group that seems to be anti who you are, or anti your racial group, your ethnicity. And I don't understand that sometimes, but hopefully, you know, they're doing the whole spooku sap by the door. Yes, it's spooku sap by the door, spooku sap by the door theory, and try to change that party from within side. Also, there's kind of a double standard. You know, a lot of these folks are hypocrites. You know the whole birther issue about Barack Obama not really being an American citizen, this and that. He was born in another country, even though he presented a birth certificate. Well, it turns out that this Texas senator, major Tea Party guy, Ted Cruz, was born in Canada. And they talking and they want to be birthers and talk about Barack Obama. This guy, you born in Canada, man. How you? I mean, the hypocrisy of a lot of these folks is just, it's like beyond the pale of reality. I don't understand it. How you going to talk out both sides of your mouth? You talk about the other guy being not in America. I'm wondering where Donald Trump is, and if he's dispatching legions of his minions to go and find Ted Cruz. Maybe Ted has his birth certificate. Probably just call the city hall in whatever Canadian city that he was born in, and they'll send it right to him. I'm sure they'll fax it right over. You know, once again, we're sponsored by On the Move Sounds, inspired by Mumia Abu-Jamal, which can be purchased at bwmovingimages.com. Don't forget, we need you to donate and support the content on the GoPro Radio Network. And you can do that by going to goproradio.com. Once again, there's going to be a donate button. Click on that. Leave a note saying that you're calling to support the K. Thompson Live show. Now we're going to move into a little bit of entertainment. You know, that's part of what I do. So I want to talk about some things that, I'm going to be the show guy and suggest different shows to people that I think you might want to check out. One such show that I've been catching up with is a show called House of Lies, starring Don Cheadle. And I was just watching a couple episodes today. It's really a good show. I would suggest some people, well-written, well-acted by everybody in it, some very interesting subject matter. And I think that you will like it. I think that that's the type of show that we need to support, because if you look at the landscape of TV, there's not too much variety, too much diversity out there, except for reality TV. And you know, heavens to Murgatroyd, as some cartoon character used to say, that's not the best. So what we need to do is support those shows that have good images. You know, we're in a visual age nowadays. Images are very important to the young people that follow us, and we have to try to steer them in a way where they can get positive images. I mean, it's the best thing that there's an African-American president. If you don't agree with anything that he says, merely just for the image of having young kids that think that they can do it too, and rise, they don't have to be president, but they know that they can rise to high levels in their life and achieve great things. So that's really, really a good thing. And so when we talk about shows and images, I think House of Lies is one of those. It's an adult show, but I think it's a good show that you should support. You know, if you look at the landscape of TV, there's not a lot of shows out there with a lot of minorities on the shows. And I wonder sometimes that when these people come up with new shows, and you'll see these casts, and they'll be all one ethnic group, all white, a lot of shows. And I'm just wondering, you know, I know people write what they know, but I'm wondering, is that, are you writing what you know, or are you writing the type of world you wish to see? And also, too, how many stories, how many different versions of the same storyline can you tell? I don't know about you, but I personally would get tired of seeing the same stories over and over again. Another English drama. Oh, great. How unique is that? Or, you know, like the show Downton Abbey, which I just read. You know, that's a PBS hit from out of England. But I just read that they're going to have an African-American, not an African-American, a black British character on that show there. As a recurring. So I read that online, that they were going to introduce a black character. So that's a pretty cool thing. And that's going to open up storylines to them. You know, when you tell different stories, you open up the storylines, you open up the possibilities, you know. And I'm going back to Django again, but that opened up the possibilities of various storylines, because it showed the relationships and the atrocities of slavery, but there was a certain kind of relationships there that in the Sam Jackson character and his master character, there was a certain relationship where Sam's character was a little bit smarter than his master. So, I mean, all these things and all those things that the black people back in those days, they had to play those games to make people feel because they had to be subservient because it was survival then. So, you know, these are areas, you know, we don't really want to see any more slave movies. I, one, would say, you know, we get it, you know. But certainly Westerns that feature African-Americans and how they were a part of the West and historical movies, you know, you got the Jimi Hendrix story that's out there. You know, I just read something on an old cover of Jet, an old issue of Jet magazine about an African-American gentleman that was working for McCarthy. It's a Joe McCarthy, you know. He brought those trials about people being communists back in the day. And, I see we're ready for a break. Is that for me, Shauna? Okay. And this was a black guy. He was in Sweden. We got a call on the line. He was in Sweden, and he was working for Joe McCarthy trying to find out who was socialist. And this is, I just happened to be going through some old issues of Jet magazine and so on, and that would make a great story. And you never heard about this individual. So there was also an African-American individual that was a Secret Service agent during the Kennedy administration, which would make a great story. So a whole lot of stories out there that need to be told, a lot of our stories that are part of this American culture, part of American history, not only African-American history. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on. What's happening?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, now.
Hey.
I just want to know, did you know that Paul Robeson was a communist?
I'm sorry?
Paul Robeson was a communist?
Paul Robeson was a communist. He was promoting that because at the time, my understanding is that, you know, America and the American society in a way was not really working out the best for black people at the time. So my understanding is that's why he was kind of thinking along those lines. And you know, there were a couple, they were trying to infiltrate.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt you, but his wife was one as well, and she traveled the world, and she has a documentary that somebody did about her, and it's fascinating.
Well, that would be great to see, a documentary about Paul Robeson's wife. That would be very interesting. And that's something else, not only a documentary, but his life story would make a great movie, you know. For some reason, you know, I would say that the larger population doesn't really get into documentaries as much as many of us do. You know, I'm one of those people who like you, caller, watches a lot of documentaries and find them fascinating. Watches a lot of that Smithsonian Channel and things like that, and finds that stuff fascinating. But for some reason, the larger, you know, people want to be entertained, and if you can entertain them, like I saw 42. And I thought that was a good movie. I thought, you know, I wanted to see other things in the film as well, but I thought it was a good movie, and I thought it was a good movie for young people to see, you know. I like to see a movie about the Negro Leagues and what they had to go through, or the African-American brothers that played basketball. They had a black African-American basketball league before they were able to play in the NBA, you know. Certainly the Bill Russell story would be something that's incredible. I didn't know until I saw his documentary on HBO that he actually, not only did he play, but one year he was actually head coach of the Celtics, and he played, and they won the championship. Mm-hmm. And he talk about all the hell that he caught trying to live in the community up there, because, of course, he was their hero on the court, but they didn't want him living in their neighborhood. So, I mean, these are all stories that certainly Jimi Hendrix's story, man. Jimi Hendrix is the creator of rock and roll. Chuck Berry. I didn't know Chuck Berry was black until I was an adult. So, I mean, these are guys that some of the great rock and roll white dudes look up to. They look up to Jimi Hendrix, Chuck Berry. If you ask someone like Eric Clapton, they look up to these guys. Jimi Hendrix is a god to them. So we need to have those stories of ourselves told. Certainly, we need to do the history and let our children know, and have them understand where you come from. You know, these are great stories. I'm going to talk about some more shows. We're going to go to a break in a minute, but I'm going to talk about some more shows that perhaps when people are sitting home watching, you might want to check out on the HBO. I'm a big fan of Dexter. I like. What do you think about Dexter Cutler? Still there? You watch regular TV, or you just do documentaries?
Yeah, no, I like them all. That was a very good show to listen to, and I got to go. Hey now, signing off.
Hey now. Yeah. So we're going to ready to go for a break right now, and we're going to come right back. Don't go nowhere. We got a couple more minutes, about another 10, 15 minutes of the show. And, you know, call in, tweet us, like us on the Facebook and all that stuff. We need to know you're out there. I know that you are. Let me know.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Welcome back. So, you know, I've been kind of stream of consciousness thinking, talking to you folks right now. But there's a lot of stuff that pops in and out of my head that I want to share with you. You know, I meant to go back to the recent story and the admitting of ex-Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor coming out saying that she felt perhaps they shouldn't have taken that case. Now, this is what they did, changed the course of history in the world. They got involved in a presidential election. They stopped the count in Florida, and then they decided the election. Now she comes out 10 or however many years later and said, perhaps we shouldn't have done it. Perhaps you should have kept your mouth shut. Maybe you know, sometimes guilt eats at people, and they have to kind of perjure themselves. So they have to kind of fess up and tell the truth. You know, and you got to wonder, why are you saying it now? You know, so we're deprived of a President Al Gore, and we get a George W. Bush. Who knows? Maybe things might have been different. You think? But it's just ironic. It's just really funny how, you know, people sometimes, and people, you know, sometimes guilt eats at them. Years later, she got to come in hindsight say that. And from what I understand, now double check me on this, from what I understand, that her vote was the deciding vote to stop the count. So you're the one that cast a vote to stop the count. Then you come out 10 years later and said, perhaps you're having second thoughts. Maybe we shouldn't have got involved. Please. Who are you saying that for, us or you? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Talk about guilt. So some of these shows that I want to get back to the shows because that's what the subject we were on. I want to tell you about some shows that I think are entertaining. I just spoke about Dexter. I got turned on to that show by one of my sisters, and once I started watching it, it was really a riveting show. It's a certain, you have to have a certain taste because it's about a serial killer who works for the police department and he kills other serial killers. I actually heard about it, you know, trying to get auditions and doing the acting thing, and you hear about different shows getting ready to come out, and you read the premise of the show and the information that you get. So I heard about it years ago, but I just never got a chance to see it. But once I watched it, it was really well done, well executed. Another one of my all-time favorite shows, not on the air anymore, but you could probably get the DVD. Go out and get it. The complete set is The Wire. The Wire was a good show. My only problem with The Wire was that the criminals seemed more charismatic than the black police officers. You know, they say the bad guys always better roles to play. The bad guys are always more interesting, but it was just ironic that way. But, you know, The Wire, it was really a good show, good producers, but it never got the critical acclaim. It's almost like they wanted to act like it didn't exist. You know, no Emmy. I don't think it got any Emmy nominations or none of that kind of critical acclaim that a lot of shows get from the establishment. So it was really kind of funny to me, but I thought it was a good show. You know, there's so rarely shows that reflect different storylines, certainly of African-Americans, that, you know, you want to go out and support those type of shows. another hot show that I'm big into. I like shows that are a little bit on the edge sometimes, but maybe some people are aware of this show called Breaking Bad, which is a really good show about a school teacher, chemist school teacher, who was diagnosed with cancer. And in order to pay the bills and prepare, have some money for his family, to make a long story short, he ends up becoming a methamphetamine dealer, and he starts becoming, you know, the chemist for that, and gets all off into that, and it takes off from there, and he gets off into all kind of crazy things, and that's really a well executed show, you know. We got another caller calling in. Caller, go ahead. Caller?
Yes.
Congressman.
Eric Payne.
Congressman Payne, Donald Payne Jr. How are you?
I'm well. How are you tonight?
All right. How goes it down there in Washington? What's the report? What's going on? I know that you were on the floor earlier today.
Yes. And I went to the floor today in opposition of a bill called H.R. 1406, and the Republicans have named it a very chic name that really disguises what the bill is all about. It is called, let me just take a look here.
And I just want to remind you, we got about 4 minutes to go, 3 minutes now, so...
Okay. Yeah, it was called the Pay Working Families Less Act, which is really...
Can you repeat that?
...sums it up. What happens is this bill would allow employers to, rather than pay a individual employee overtime, give them comp time in the future. Well, anyone working overtime needs the compensation. So, but they couched it in saying, well, you know, if you have a sick child, you know, you can work the overtime, and later on when you need the time, you can use it. The problem is that, and then the employer had it up to a year to pay you the money if you don't use the time. Well, there are a few problems with that. One, what if the company goes out of business? Mm-hmm. Two, what if when you get to that point, the employer says, well, you've got to take the time, I'm not going to pay you the money. Or three, you use the time when you need the time. The employer has the option of not letting you take it if he needs you. So it really is not helping working families. It was really a way to give employers, and from what I'm told, there's been a move to get this bill passed since 1979. And it really is skewed toward the employer. It's almost like giving an employer a interest-free loan for a year. You've worked, you've done the work, and he doesn't have to compensate you for a year. So that was the big battle today. And I went to the floor to vote against it, and also spoke against it. And I named it the Cheat Families Out of Their Money Act. And we went to the floor. We were unsuccessful. It passed by a narrow margin. But these are the types of things that the Republican leadership is up to, and they're just ramming things down our throats day by day.
And this is why I'm talking about people need to get involved, become as loud as those people were when they were pushing the Tea Party. We got 1 minute left, but once again, Congressman, this is to pay working families less. So what happens is that someone could work overtime, choose to work overtime, but the employer doesn't have to pay them that overtime after they work it. They have up until a year to decide to pay them. Is that basically it in a nutshell?
That's basically it. And what they do is they offer you comp time instead of the salary.
So they're having people work for free as opposed to paying them, in other words.
Exactly.
And
what if the company goes out of business?
Right. Right. They've used that labor for free. We got to go, but we want you to call in. We want to talk to you again next Wednesday because we want to get a little bit further into that. I heard about that on the news a couple of days ago, watching one of the news shows, and I heard about that bill. And we just want you to be able to break it down a little bit further in detail, you know, so our listeners can understand.
Absolutely.
And we also want you to address the diversity immigration issue that you were talking about last week as well.
Very well.
We got to go. I want to thank everybody. Thank you for calling in. We'll be talking to you next week, Congressman. I'll talk to you soon. And thank you, everybody, for calling in. Once again, we need your support, so we need you to go to GoProRadio.com, click on the donate button, leave a little note saying that you're there calling in to support the Kay Thompson Show in particular and the GoPro Radio Network, because we're putting some content out there we want to share with the world. We want you to listen to the voices in your head. Help us out. All right? Thanks. We'll see you next week. Peace.